wait. Oh, man, are we in the building? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Back from a pinched nerve, but your boy, you know, they just, you know, what's the saying? You know what I'm saying? Never, you know, can't count me out. You know what I'm saying? Never can sit me down. You feel what I'm saying? Listen, that pinched nerve was crazy. That is some crazy pain. But what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition, another installment, new episode of your favorite music podcast out here on these streets. The R&B and Chill Podcast is back. I am your host, Ty the Pie Guy. Welcome back again. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you like and listen to the podcast, whether that be Apple, that could be Spotify, Google Podcasts, which I believe Google and Amazon have kind of merged together. So now you can just listen to me on Alexa. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm there too. But you can also listen to us. If you don't have all of those apps, we got you. You can listen to us at our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com. That is where you can get this podcast and others on our network. All right, so just check that out. And smartphone, doesn't matter, Android or iPhone, we got you. Listen, I'm excited today, y'all. I'm excited today. In season seven, and we've been having a great season, we haven't done a lot of kind of the meat and potatoes of the show. We haven't gotten an artist spotlight in interviewing. You feel what I'm saying? And y'all know me, I love to interview artists who are just continuously killing it in the game, whether independent or not. Y'all know me, that is my bread and butter kind of when it comes to this show. And so one of my favorite music managers, shout out to Ron, hit me up and was like, hey, yo, you know, I got one for you. And I was like, all right, let me check them out. And hey. The brother that I'm bringing to the stage right now is a super producer, super songwriter, amazing vocalist. Have worked with some of your favorites that we're going to get into in the show today. Amazing songwriter, producer, artiste, vocal powerhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, aunties and uncles, I want you to put your hands together for the one and only Mr. Marcus Devine. Can we get a hand clap? Because we got to give him the hand clap. Come on, man. Yes, sir. What's going on, Marcus?
What's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. How you feeling, brother?
I'm incredible, bro.
I'm first of all, again, thank you for coming on the show. Super excited to have you. Before we get into everything, just let the people at home know just who you are a little bit. Introduce yourself.
Like you said, I'm Marcus Devine. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm born and raised. Music producer, singer, songwriter, engineer, videographer, everything to do with music, man. I do it all. I've been doing this for like about 35 years now.
Wow.
Professionally. I've worked with everybody you could think of, from Charlie Wilson, Aaliyah, Destiny's Child, Silk 112, Jagged Edge, Monica, Mario. Man, it's crazy, man. Shanti, Genuine, Lloyd, Bobby V, Pretty Ricky, Kerry Hilson. Man, it's crazy, man. Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if Ron can see me in the background, but boy, I'm sitting here like, you better talk.
And I cut it off. I didn't want to keep riding.
I wasn't trying to cut you off.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to let you go crazy. You got to, first of all, Marcus, sometimes you got to just let them know.
I feel you.
Just got to let them know. You got to run the resume off to them. That was a powerhouse list of amazing vocalists that we still listen to today.
Yes, sir.
Who you've worked with and still work with. I'm excited to get into this. So, Marcus, from Detroit. We both from Detroit. 313. Shout out to our
city. Yes, sir.
grew up on 8 Mile in Wyoming, right next to the Coney Island and the Fresh Fish House.
You know yeah.
My
the orange roughy, baby.
Oh yeah. What? Oh yeah, by the Kroger. You feel me, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was my favorite Coney too for a while. Like that Coney specifically right by the Kroger was my favorite Coney for a while.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about Detroit's influence in your growing up and you loving music.
Well, as far as growing up and then and influencing my life, I tell everybody, people always say, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, right?
Right.
I say, if you can make it in Detroit, you can make it anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the reason I say that is New York has an industry. New York has they're the place you go to make it happen.
Right.
But here, we got to make it happen. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? When you build something from here, because a lot of people still live in the past off of the Motown situation. But you know what I mean? Right,
right.
Here, if you make it, you literally made it. Like,
absolutely.
When I say made it, I'm not talking about made it somewhere. No, you made it. You made something that can get you out of here.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
Just being here, you know, not having it easy, you know what I mean? It made me stronger. So mm-hmm. any place I walk or any place I go to, I ain't scared. You know what I mean? I ain't hanging my head.
Right.
It's like, nah, I did this. I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. So that's the influence that Detroit definitely had on me in my career, bro.
Have you, in early in your career, has there been any time early in your career where you felt like you needed to hang your head down in certain rooms when you got into that space and when you started working with those artists and when you got into your career? Did it feel as though when you walked into those bigger rooms that, you know, kind of those big eyes was on you, you know what I'm saying? And you had to kind of just, did you shrink or did you stand tall?
Man, this is one of the best questions I think I've ever had in an interview, bro. And I'm not just saying that.
Nah, appreciate
no, because that's a part of that most people don't even dig into.
Right.
Of a person. And so let me be 100% honest. I've been in rooms
mm-hmm.
that it was requested of me
to shrink.
To don't say nothing.
Ooh.
Like, yo, because they needed to shine in the moment. And this is going to sound arrogant as hell. You can't stop my shine. That's the beauty. And I'm gonna give you a quick story, if you don't mind.
No, no, go ahead, please.
I'm in L.A. This particular group, I don't want to say because people are connected dots. So
mm-hmm.
this particular group, I did a song on. Now, I produced this song before I got to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to the studio with another production team, which were friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So when the group got there, before the group got there, they're writing a song for this group. I'm just there visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys turned, well-known producer turns and go, hey, Marcus, what do you think? What you got? So I gave him a line. He falls out of the chair on the floor, losing it. Like, oh my God, yes. But the other producer that was my close friend didn't like that because he's the star of the team. And I could see it on his face where it was like, ah, man, so this hurt me because you my guy, right? So I'm like, okay, so I'm shut up. The dude turns again and be like, what else you got, Marcus? So now it's getting crazy. And at this point, the group walks in
mm-hmm.
that they're working on. And they when they see me, they lose it. Oh, my God. Man, when we meet with such and such tomorrow, I'm just about to say his name. when we meet with such and such tomorrow, your song, the first song we going to play, and the first song that we're going to talk about tomorrow. So this makes the room even more thick.
Yeah.
You know what
the
I mean?
The tension in the room is high.
Oh,
it's tight.
Bro, listen, Ty. Check this out. So my guy goes in the booth, and he's singing, but they stuck on this line. I tell my guy at the desk, push the button, and I sings this line. Dope, right? Everybody in the room like, yeah. I get a text on my phone. Hey, yo. Any more ideas you got, text them to me. Don't say them out loud over the thing.
Oh.
Hey, Ty. Two minutes later, I knocked on the window and was like, hey, yo, bro, I'm about to go. And I left. But guess what? Guess whose song made the album and whose song didn't?
Oh.
Yeah. And I love this person to this day. So, you know, if he see this, he know who he is. And I've never shared with him exactly how that made me feel.
But why is that, Marcus?
Bro,
why is competition? Because here's the thing, and I think we see it now more. I guess in this age right now of kind of support in the industry. But Marcus, that story has not, like, similar stories have been told to me on this podcast.
Wow.
Right? Not in terms of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, to me, that's a little bit, that's a lot shady, and that's just a little bit like, whoa, if you genuinely my boy and we want to see each other win, then we're going to be like, bouncing these ideas off of each other, making this album probably one of the best albums. But you sitting here talking about, oh, don't stop my shine, or hey, text me your ideas, don't say nothing else.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't sit there and stay there, because to be completely honest, sometimes a lot of artists, writers, producers stay right there.
Yeah,
all right, you got it. I ain't gonna stop your cap. I ain't gonna stop your shine. I'm gonna let you rock.
Right.
But you took it upon yourself to sit here and say, I must throw up the piece and say deuces, big dog.
Yeah, because you know what? I still love him as a friend.
Right.
So before I sat there and let it stew and make me really, you know, trip. Because you got to understand, I was visiting, which means I was in L.A. working already.
Right.
So I didn't need to be there. And guess what? Even the song that you were working on, I still got 12.5% of the song because I wrote on the song.
Hey, there you go.
So I'm not tripping, you know, but like you say, the point is, if you my guy and we think, you know, and our thing is we supposed to be there for each other, I'm not asking for a handout. I actually didn't even come there to work.
Right, to work with you.
It was asked of me what I thought. I was sitting back in the cut. I know studio etiquette. I've been doing this for 30 years. Like, I didn't say, hey, yo.
Right.
So, it, you know, it's cool, though.
I don't like that, Marcus. That's kind of wild. That's kind of fucked up.
I agree.
I don't like that because all right. Because, see, I ain't coming here for work. I came here to visit. Right? Yeah. I ain't coming here for work. Okay, so you, as you... all the artists that you have list off in the beginning of the show, so many. However, you started, or somewhat in your start of your career, you were a background singer or a vocalist for Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that opportunity a little bit and how that relationship between you and her kind of morphed and formed.
Well, it was crazy because I wasn't even supposed to be there, bro.
Really?
You know, in the grand scheme, you know, of course people were like, yes, you were supposed to be there, but you know what I mean. I wasn't scheduled to be there. Let's put it like that.
Right.
And my best friend, Gerald Hatton, which is Dietrich Hatton's brother, asked me to, he's like, yo, man, just ride to rehearsal with me. Mm. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I ain't doing nothing. Get to rehearsal. The guy that was supposed to be singing background didn't show up at rehearsal this day. And the music director was like, come here, Marcus. Come and sing this song with me. You know what I mean? Come and sing this note on this song. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, there's nothing. It's the same thing over. So I get up there. Aaliyah walks in the door and goes, who is that? I see her pointing at me like, who is that? And it was like, that's Marcus Devine. And I heard, she's like this. I like him, just like that. And so, you know, we get to rehearsal. She come up there. She hugged me, introduced herself. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, the dude shows up at rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Now, he's furious because he lost the job. You know, he's not there. So they like, well,
Marcus, you took his job?
No, hold on. This gets good. It gets good.
Okay, my bad. My bad. I'm shutting up.
So 2 days later, he come in. So he upset. So they say, okay, let's make it fair. Let's have another audition. Okay. So when I get to rehearsal the next day, it's 20 dudes at rehearsal
ready
to audition. So not only do I got to out-sing him, I got to out-sing 20 dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how dope this story is. While people are auditioning, Aaliyah walks in and goes, what's going on? They're like, oh, your dad said that, you know, we got to have another audition, you know, because the such and such guy is upset. You know, she's like, uh-uh, I want Marcus.
Oh.
In front of everybody. And the girl turns to everybody and said, well, y'all heard what she said. Thank y'all for coming out.
No, Marcus, what?
Yeah. And that was the way that happened. And we
Marcus, you got the head nod off the second. First of all, Marcus in here talking about, what's going through your mind during that time, Marcus? Before Aaliyah walks in, right? You damn near got the job. But then my man comes in furious. You know what I'm saying? He mad.
He
rah-rah and rah-rah. So Aaliyah's dad is like, all right, we're going to run this back. 20 men. You see 20 plus men. What's the first thing that's going through your mind? Is it nervousness, fear? Is it like, or you just like, all right, well, I'm.
That's me right there. No. That's me. Like, because first of all, the job wasn't mine in the first place. If they would have told me the next day, hey, yo, he came back, man.
Right.
So we're going to go ahead. I'm not there. I'd be like, oh, okay. And this is going to sound crazy. I'm always working, Ty. So if I wasn't
You're from Detroit. We always work.
So I'm be doing something else. So, yes, the opportunity was great, but I wasn't going to be crushed. So it was like, oh, okay, this is what I got to do. Come on, let's have some fun. That's literally what my thought process. You know what I mean? And you know, you from the D, I ain't never scared, and I'm not even.
No, not at all. We gonna do it.
I ain't even fronting. So it was like, it is what it is. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, but it ain't gonna be easy for y'all. Like, you know what I mean? So that was my thing. But she came in and was like, nah, we ain't even going. I ain't even get a chance to sing. She's like, oh, no. I want Marcus.
Wow.
And that was it.
And how long were you on tour with her?
Just that first tour.
First tour. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That is, wow. To come in and be like, nah, I want Marcus, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
And that first tour forged a lot of friendships. That's how I met Little G from Silk, which is my son's godfather now.
Oh, wow.
Me and Teddy Riley and Dave Hollister, which are them, my big brothers, we talk all the time. Like, so that tour forged a lot of friendships for me in this business. You know what I mean?
And what year was that?
Bro, I think that had to be, I want to say 96, 97, 96.
Oh, my God, I was born in 94. So I was 2.
Yeah, bro, that was, yeah.
That's crazy. So, so take me through. 90, so you get off a tour at 96 or 97, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you're still writing and producing for other artists?
Well, mostly on the gospel side, though.
Oh, okay. So we on the gospel side of things first.
Yeah. So that's like me and Gerald Hatton. They're Dietrich Hatton, the gospel artist.
Right. Okay.
We were all going to church together. So
got you.
I played bass at their church. You know, I wasn't even singing. I was playing bass
at
their church. So we were working on stuff. You know, just us. Most of the records I played, we were listened to in the truck. They never made it to artists. This is me getting my thing together.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Get really getting together, off it. Yep. Yeah, so around that time, it wasn't until 2000, though, that I had my first big record, which was on a gospel group called Men of Standard, a song called In Your Will.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest one. But early, I had a couple records early on. Gospel records that my first two that I ever produced was on the gospel choir. And so that was my entry into the game as far as placing records on somebody.
Which genre do you love more?
Nothing like R&B. You ain't even got to finish that statement, bro. Ain't nothing like R&B music to me.
So you start producing, so you go from the gospel to the R&B. Who are some of the first artists you start to work with?
Most, like a lot of local artists first. Mm-hmm. That's I think, who was my first, wow, this is crazy. I never even thought about this in this order like this. Yeah, it was a lot of gospel artists, like this group called Pam and Dodie. They was on Universal. Mm-hmm. I mean, on MCA. So I worked on them. That was, then like I said, the Men of Standard, the Dietrich Hattons, you know. Yeah. So that was my, on the, as far as record company placements. But I did a lot of, like I worked with probably everybody in Detroit back in the day. Like, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that was the thing. So that was how I paid the bills. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like working around here. So, and then
was it more songwriting or producing? Or was it more, or was it?
It was hand to hand.
Oh, hand to hand. Right. Okay.
Yeah. It was definitely hand to hand.
So basically you not only are you writing the songs, you're producing songs. Mark's damn near singing the songs.
Yes.
Right. Triple threat. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. First big artist to hit your phone was.
Wow. Okay.
The first big artist in your mind that you would say in your mind to maybe not change your life, but you say, okay. Oh, we here now. Like we big here.
I would say the big first big one would have to be Silk.
Ooh. Yeah. Shout out to Silk. We love Silk.
Yeah, so I went and stayed in Dallas with them for a month working mm-hmm. on the Love Sessions project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be the first. And then it just kept going from there, bro.
It just kept snowballing from there. 35 years, Marcus.
Yeah.
Is a long time to be good. First of all, 35 years looks good on you, my brother. I really want to say
man.
That.
You feel Thank what I'm you, saying? Bro.
Skin
Thank
looking
you,
good, popping, everything like that. You, it don't look like it's 35. You feel what I'm
Thank
saying?
Thank you, bro.
It don't look like that at all. And I'm so intrigued because not only are you from Detroit, but you still are in the game. You feel what I'm saying? Still doing it at a very, very high level. What are some... And I ask a lot of artists who have skin in the game, especially a long, long skin. I think you are one of the first artists who has this much longevity in the game that we're interviewing for real, and I appreciate that. So I definitely want to ask this question to you. What can you tell newer artists that are coming in? Doesn't matter which side, Marcus, pop side, R&B, hip-hop, because the music industry is very oversaturated. You know, music does not get the listen. It doesn't get the ear like it once was.
Right.
What can you tell newer artists that are coming up and trying to start their careers in how to stay not just relevant, and not just important, but consistent.
Find your voice and know what you want to say. Know and believe in you. And I know that sounds cliche, but that's serious. Like believe in you, because at the end of the day, if I look at it like this, if I'm going through a heartbreak, I know somebody somewhere else is going through
the same thing.
And if you think like that, it's like, don't try to write music to fit everybody else.
Exactly.
Write music that's true to you, because those people that's supposed to gravitate to it is going to gravitate to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. Stay true to you. What you want to say, say that.
Say that. For real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Devine has done production artists, like has done production. I just want to read off some of the artists, right? He said it, you know what I'm saying, in his intro. But I just want to, you know, just want to read off the list a little bit, Marcus. You feel me?
Let's go.
Just give y'all a little bit of taste of who he has worked with and is working with. You feel me? Charlie Wilson, Teddy Pendergrass. You feel what I'm saying? Escape, Faith, Silk, Dave Hollister, Olivia, Kelly Price. Love us some Kelly Price. You feel what I'm saying? Love you, Kelly. If you want to come on the show, you're always welcome to come on the show. 112, Shirley Murdoch, Mario. Did you work on Mario's new album?
No.
Oh, okay, I was about to say. Wait a minute now. Monica, Destiny's Child, Derek Hodden, Bobby Valentino, Marcus.
Yeah.
When?
No, I'm music. See, some of it is music produced, and some of it is music director for. So it's just artists that I work with. So yeah, I was his music director.
He don't work with Brownstone.
Yeah, I did their single, the last single they had out. I did that.
Marcus, your R&B palette is respected.
Wow.
How do you keep the longevity in the game? And I think that's the main question for a lot of artists today. Because longevity, I think, is the best way to play.
Yeah.
So how do you keep your longevity in the game? Because what I'm seeing, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more in the industry than me, but as a lover of the music, what I'm seeing is artists aren't staying around for more than about 4 or 5 years, Marcus.
That's true.
Right? And it especially depends on what genre you're in. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Nowadays R&B doesn't get the and I've said this multiple times, it does not get the love or the shine that it used to, or that it needs to, for real. But also, I just feel like there is a certain oversaturation. So, just briefly, how do you keep this longevity? Because, again, 35 years is nothing to sneeze at. And, again, Marcus, you're still doing this at a high level.
Well, for me, Ty, it's I'm my own man. And when I say that, I don't, you know, I mean, you're not going to catch me drunk with no artists.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to catch me high with no artists. And it's not going to go, I'm not got nothing against nobody else, but this is my formula.
You know what, Marcus, I've heard that a lot. A lot of people have come on my podcast and be like, yo, I stay to me.
Yeah.
Is that the like new wave in the...
It's not, I don't think it's the new wave. Like, you know what I mean? I've been in situations where in the room, everybody, nah, bro, I'm cool. Like,
right.
I'm here, I have a job. So, right. You know what I mean? Some people, I say it's a myth or a misconception that they think they're more creative when they're high.
Mm.
Like, I think they're scared of their ability. Like, you know what I mean? You know, that's just me.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So, for staying sober, being valuable, like, never making excuses, Ty. I never make excuses.
Right.
Like, what you want? Okay. No, I don't know how to do it, but guess what? We're going to figure it out.
We're going to figure it out.
And that's literally my thing with everybody. If an artist called me, they may say, man, I want to do this with this and that. And in my head, I'm going, you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Right.
But guess what? I'm going to figure out how to do it in a dope manner. That it may not be exactly what they said, but we're going to make it dope. Because what they said... Maybe the downfall, maybe something, you know, crazy in my experience.
Right.
But how about this? Try this on. It's the same thing you said, but it's in a dope.
In a different manner. Yeah, you're
so
right.
So basically just making sure that I make myself valuable in every situation.
I love that. The Greatest Show. Talk to me about the new single.
Man. I love this record. It's a different type of record for me. No, singing the falsetto, you know, I had fun with it, cause you know, but The Greatest Show is really, really simple, man. It's the bed is your stage, and you trying to get the best performance of your life to your partner. So you know what I mean, being in tune, being attentive, and just making sure your performance is A1.
I hear that, man. Are we getting a new album coming soon this summer or in the springtime?
In the fall.
In the fall. Okay. New album coming in the fall. Okay. And what can we expect? Just like The Greatest Show, The Greatest Show does sound really, really well.
Thank you, bro.
I will be doing a new music segment next week, and we'll be putting that on a new music segment. So,
oh man, appreciate it, bro.
But talk to me a little bit about the process and creating the album. I know you're still in, you know, the process right now in producing, writing, creation, curation as well. Has it been a trying process? Has the process been struggling? No, it's been peaches and cream.
That's funny you say peaches and cream. Cause
don't say you produced that too.
No, my brother did, but hold on. The dude who sung Peaches and Cream is on one of the songs. Q Parker from 112. He's on one of my records on the
project.
Yeah.
That's
so. So that's funny you use those words.
This is the funny part. If Marcus played an R&B game of saying like, yo, of all the R&B songs in the world, how many has Marcus Devine touched? Now, I'm not saying maybe like, you know, wrote the whole song, produced the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in my mind like, yo, how many songs do I? It's
a lot.
I know over 100 R&B tracks from the 90s, 2000s, 2010s to now. How many has Marcus Devine touched? Whether that is producing, writing, vocal direction, music directing. How many has he touched?
A lot.
and when you present it with some of these songs, like, is it, do you just use the ear? Do you just have the ear?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And the feeling. Like, I tell everybody, everything I do is off feeling.
Yeah.
90% of the time, I don't know why the hell I said
expound on that a little bit, because a lot of people don't get that. Marcus, a lot of people, we in a very technical world right now, so it's just, you know, you got to have the gadgets and gadgets, right? You got to make sure the gadgets and gadgets matter, right, instead of the feeling in the ear. And that's why I ask, like, it's the ear and the feeling. Can you expound on that a little bit and about like the ear and the feeling, like, yo, sometimes the gadgets and the gadgets just don't get it.
Yeah. You know, and I got all of those, you know what I mean? I got all the gadgets, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, and this is true, and I know a lot of people heard this before, most of the time you never remember what somebody said or what they did, but you definitely remember how they made you feel.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I take that on the music side. Like, you could play a chord, there's a certain thing I see. I can't even describe it. Like, it becomes visual to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So it makes me feel some kind of way. And a lot of times we're scared to go into that feeling.
Right.
Like, whether it feel dark or whether, you know, like, yo, if that's where it take you, go there. Because somebody is there too. You're not, that goes back to what I said earlier. Somebody else is there in that dark space too.
Right.
Go there. You may be the thing that bring them out. So everything I do is got to make me feel something. It's got to, whether it's happy,
mm-hmm.
I just tap into, how do I feel about this?
If there is one word that could describe your musical gift and abilities, what would that one word be?
Therapeutic.
Ooh, and why?
Because I feel like I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Depending on whatever situation we're talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like I have a song to touch on everything that you can deal with in life. Whether you're the cheating spouse, the been cheated on spouse, the hurt spouse, the blissfully in love person. Like, so I feel like my music talks to you on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes your therapist almost, and it'd be therapeutic to listen to.
I hear that. When did you start the sunglass line?
In 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you got the likes of Charlie Wilson just rocking out with the sun, and they some dope sunglasses. I'm gonna need a pair for real. I will drop the website
in
the link
below and everything when we drop the episode. But Marcus, we're going to play a little game before we go.
Let's go, buddy.
All right. And this might be a little hard for you because, you know, you got connects and artist friends. And you got mm-hmm. you got real skin in the game. So this might be hard for you. So this is this or that. I'm going to put two artists.
Okay.
You know. And you got to pick one, right? Now, again, when we play this game, I have to preference. We love you all, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no love lost here. I listen to y'all. I love y'all. I still rock with y'all, but we got to choose one, all right? So first one up, Aretha or Patty?
Ooh.
Yep, see, everybody say woo.
Yeah, on that one, of course. for me, though, it'd have to be Aretha.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I love Patty. I was on tour with Patty. She's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life.
I've heard that, too. I've heard similar artists come on the show. Beth from Detroit said the same thing. She was on tour with Patti LaBelle, and amazing person. We love you, Patti. We love you.
All day.
Number two, got to bring it to NYC a little bit, because I love these two women. They literally shaped a lot of my music growing up. Alicia Keys or Mary J. Blige?
Mary J. Blige.
Ooh!
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a Mary J. Blige kid, bro.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a Mary J. Blige kid. When your mama is literally playing, when you looked into my life.
What?
Sir. I was like, at 3 years old, I'm singing.
Yes, sir.
Like, I don't know what I'm singing. Who looking into my life at 3 years old, Marcus?
Right. What? I don't know what this is, but I love it.
Let's see. What's another number three? Okay. So this is good. SWV or In Vogue?
SWV all day.
Wow.
Really? I got scared though. You was about to. Oh yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah, SWV all day.
Oh wow. Okay. Who you thought I was about to say?
I don't know, but I was scared, though. I'm like, I got a lot of sisters out in this game. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, Lord. What is that?
Oh, my God. Okay, number four. Let's see. Ooh, now I got to go a group. Old school. Right?
Okay.
OJs or the Temptations?
Temps. Love them all day.
Okay. Number five. I gotta make this hard for you, Marcus. You just been breezing through these. Hold up. I gotta make this hard. Hold on. Gotta make this hard. I'm looking at my record wall right now. This uh-huh. gave me an idea. Erykah Badu or India Irie?
India Irie.
Oh wow! Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, for me. Yeah,
for you, right. For you. Whoa.
There's a pureness that India Irie has.
I don't disagree with you.
That does something for me.
I don't disagree with you. I miss her in music. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yeah, I miss her in music. Just saying. India, you can come on the show, too. We miss you. You know what I'm saying? We miss you in music. Dang, Marcus. I was not expecting the India, though.
Yeah,
I was definitely hitting ready for you to say Erykah.
Wow. Grateful for what she's contributed
absolutely.
To the game.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? But if Mark is listening, if I'm going to turn on something.
Yes, it's going to be some India first.
It's going to be India.
I hear you. What is next before we get out of here? What is next or what is up next for Mr. Marcus Divine?
Well, getting ready for the live shows, for the... you know, for my live shows, getting into that. I got some shows coming up with Genuine that I'm opening up for Genuine.
Hey, nice. Y'all coming to the New York area at all?
If we do, you definitely going to know, bro.
All right. Just one.
And
then, let me know.
And, and getting started on this best third record.
Okay.
Project. So I had the honor to produce her second project, Get to Know Me, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so doing that and finishing up my project, man, that's really what's right there in front of me, you know. And I'm still doing one-off dates with, like, I got a date. Oh, New York. I'll be in New York this weekend.
Oh, word.
At the Barclays with Ashanti.
Oh, bet. All right, yeah. So listen, all my peoples, you know what I'm saying, make sure y'all check that out, for real.
Yeah, so I'll be there with Ashanti this weekend.
Nice.
And, you know, so it's just doing what I do, bro. So.
All right, Marcus, well, listen, we appreciate you for coming on the show, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, rocking out with us. Brother, you are truly an icon in this game, in this industry. It's legendary in my view. 35 wow. years and still rocking out just does not go unnoticed. Worked with a lot of icons and legends in their own right, still to this day. Still people hitting you up for your ear. And I think that's the most intriguing part when it comes to songwriters, producers, musicians like Marcus. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes artists is just an artist, right? They just there to sing the song and then leave. You feel me? When you can genuinely get hit up for the music, for the technical work, for the sound, for the feeling, and for the ear, because that is something that Marcus has. And I'm going to just be biased a little bit. I think that's just a little bit of a Detroit thing, for real. You know, I've had an ear like that. My girl gets upset. Sometimes she gets mad when you be like, you can memorize a song in like a day. I'm like, I've been like that since I've been little, man. It's just a feeling. You feel what I'm saying? It's just that ear when good music is being played. So I know, I definitely understand that. So Marcus, continue to give us greatness as a music lover, as a music enthusiast. Continue to write greatness, produce greatness, and continue to be great, my brother, because you are great.
Thank you so much, bro. I appreciate this so much, man.
Thank you, my brother. Listen, where can people follow you, get the music from? Where can they, you know, get in contact with you?
Okay. Well, first of all, on Instagram is The Heat Miser, DaHeatMizer. Facebook is facebook.com/TheHeatMizer. The Shades is at Shades of Divine on Instagram. That's DEVINE, Shades of Divine. And to get my new single, Greatest Show, go to www.MarcusDivine.com to get the single. And whoever gets the single, you get an affiliate link sent to you that if you post this link, and whoever buys my single through your link, you make $1.20 every time somebody buys my single through your link. Nobody's doing that.
Look at, whoa. I'm just letting y'all know I'm buying the single next week. So yeah, y'all make sure y'all go out there and buy a single, because ain't no artist doing that.
Nobody. And I tell all my friends, like, yo, if you got a million followers and there's only 100,000 of them buy the single, you made $120,000
right there.
Off of my single, you didn't do no work. Off of my single, you make $120,000, then you could do whatever you want to do.
You right, Marcus. Marcus got a plan, boy. He make, woo! Marcus got big money. You feel me?
Nah.
He got that old, long, good money. You feel what I'm saying?
It's okay. It's okay.
Hey, Marcus, we appreciate you for coming. Man, this was great. We got to get you back on again, man. For real.
Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Anytime, bro.
Again, thank you for coming on the show. And to everybody else, man, thank y'all so, so much for coming in for this interview. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. The Epic Echo community on YouTube. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. Shout out to everybody that subscribes to the podcast. Wherever you listen to us, if you don't listen to us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever, be sure to listen to us right here on our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com, where you can listen to this podcast and others. Again, doesn't matter what kind of phone you have. You can have an Obama phone, bro. You feel what I'm saying? You can have the Obama phone, and we got you. You can listen right there, all right? We love you. We thank y'all. Y'all be easy. Stay breezy. This has been another one, of course. Of course, next week we'll be back. I should be a little bit more healed from the pinched nerve and everything. Your boy is getting right, getting tight. So y'all be good. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Come on, let's grab the Kama Sutra and add a new page, yeah. On this bed, I will perform just like it's my stage, yeah. It's a sold-out show for a crowd of only one. You got the best seat in the whole damn house. Baby, right down front. Till the light now turns, the lights down low. Come on, baby, ready, set, go. You know what you came here for. It's about to be the greatest show on earth. Greatest show on earth. And you won't believe just how I put in work. How I put in work. See, you don't need a rehearsal. What I do, my first act's an hour, and it's dedicated to you. It's about to be the greatest show on earth, the greatest show on earth tonight. Ooh, so don't you go nowhere. Baby, stay right there. Baby, stay right there. Cause I'm about to do that number you like. Is this what you've been waiting for? Can I get a little crowd participation? You're doing fine. Thank you for this standing ovation. These lights so hot, sweat running down your body. I just might give you an encore. So it's about to be.
It's about to be.
It's about to be.
Show on earth,
yeah.
Greatest show on earth,
uh-huh.
And you won't believe,
you won't believe
just how I put in work,
how I put in,
how I put in work.
You don't need a rehearsal.
This is what I do.
My first act's an hour, and it's dedicated to you. It's about to be,
it's about to be
the greatest show on.
Come on and bring it to me. Let me write my name all on it, girl. And I can't wait to touch ya. Damn, I don't need no ushers, cause I got this handle. Trust me,
yeah. It's a